Our scripture comes to us today, again out of the book of Hebrews in the third chapter, verses 12 through 15. And I'm bringing it to you out of the New King James Version. Verse 12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Please pray with me. Father, we pray with open Bibles. Help us in the way we think and respond to the Bible. Help us see that it's there to set forward your Son in all his glory and his splendor and his power. We look away from ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's an easy title today. It's Guard Your Hearts. Let me start out by saying that I look back on a conversation, you know, when I was a young adult with a couple that were about my parents' age, and what was obvious during this discussion is they were unchurched, and their theological stance was this: you don't need to go to church and you don't need to study the Bible to have a relationship with God. And the husband, he went as far as stating, "Why go to church? All they want is your money." And then in contrast, there's my dear old dad, a.k.a. Papa Joe. He'd give you a call and invite you to a wonderful Sunday dinner that Mom was preparing. But there was a catch. The invitation was only good for those who would attend church that particular Sunday. And the congregation always knew when Mom was cooking, you see, the Debbie's filled two pews. And mind you, when the collection plate was passed down the pew, Papa Joe knew if you were putting something in it. You see, the love of God brought my father up out of a pit that stood poised to destroy him and his family. And this was his way of bringing his family together into the presence of God, who was willing with his life to save him, to save them as he had saved Papa Joe. You know, I really can't tell you what the Sunday messages were, but I can say these are some of the fondest memories of my life. I truly miss my father, giving no consideration to the pain of his battle with alcoholism upon his family and upon himself. Only by the grace of God did he overcome his giant. My desire as his son is to come to understand what he came to know and to understand. It's here in Hebrews. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. It's strength through Christ that brings down these enemy strongholds. And daily guard your hearts against hardness. You see, it is sin and unbelief that threatens to pull us back into the world of rebellion. And wait on the Lord. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and take this victory message to others, daily encouraging them. You see, God provides a way of escape. Show them your confidence in Christ as you hold steadfast to the end. You see, Papa Joe had a heart, and the heart is the main ingredient. So much is missed by the one who never reads his Bible, by the one who believes it's not a necessity in this modern world. But let me give you some scriptures. The Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And that's Matthew 6:12. So don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is Romans 12:2. And God says, "Son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways." Proverbs 23:26. Why? because the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, Psalms 34 and 18, leading us to cry out, create in me a pure heart, O God, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, Psalms 51 and 10. For blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God, Matthew 5 and 8. So above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Solomon warns us in Proverbs 4 and 23. So here in Hebrews, the third chapter, it compares Moses and the Israelites with Christ and his church. And Paul wants you to allow Israel's history to warn you, as he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Weren't they under the cloud? Didn't they all pass through the sea? Didn't they eat the same spiritual food? Drink the same spiritual drink from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them? And that rock was Christ, Paul writes. All those Moses led out of Egypt, they heard and they rebelled. 600,000 fell in the desert because of disobedience and unbelief. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written down as warnings for us in 1 Corinthians 10. And here's where Paul really hits it. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Didn't they witness the plagues on Egypt? Didn't they walk through the Red Sea on dry ground and witness Pharaoh's army meet its doom, over and over witnessing and testifying to God's immeasurable power? So let me ask you a question. Do you think if we were standing there looking across the river at the promised land that it would have been much different? How many of us would have gone along with the crowd? How many of us would have stayed on the narrow road? Can you picture it? Joshua, Caleb, and John Devi going to scope out the promised land? Think of it. Would I deliberately pick a fight to the death with a large and fierce Canaanite warrior? Would I harden my heart, or would I believe in God's immeasurable strength in and through me if I came face to face with a giant, a descendant of Anak, where I would be compared to him as a grasshopper? But I've come to tell you that society faces what seems to be insurmountable odds. There are descendants of Anak all around us. And only by divine might the giant falls. We in Christ are giant slayers. You see, the psalmist writes, our Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, he made it. His hand formed the dry land. Come and bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Church, the fight is here and now. If I were to stop and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in me, what would he say? He'd tell me, don't harden your heart. Don't be an unbeliever. Don't be walking the wrong way, thinking you're going the right way. Don't allow your faith to slowly diminish. Hold on to your devotion, your loyalty, and your faithfulness. Don't become like the world. The world suffers from forgetfulness. It's slowly forgetting that there's a God. It's forgetting the fact that one day we will meet him. God says in Hebrews 10 and 30, it's mine to avenge. I will repay. The Lord will judge his people. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Today is the day. Encourage each other today. Fix your thoughts on Christ today. Guard your hearts today. I'm in your boat and you're in mine and we're all in His. You see, I heard it described this way, that we're coals in a fire. And if you take one out and you set it aside, the coal loses its flame and it loses its heat. But if you pick it back up and you put it back in the fire, you put it back with the rest, it'll regain its fire. It'll regain its heat. It'll regain its flame. God created it this way. We all need each other. God doesn't want us to die in the desert. And those who think they can stand apart need help more than they know. Thank God He puts people around us that say, look out. This is what happened to me. This is what it cost me. God puts believers in your path for a reason. Don't you think God had more in mind for you than what you were when He brought you out of your Egypt? So let's plan out how to encourage one another by meeting together and making a habit out of doing it. As it's written in Hebrews 10 and 24, all the more as you see the day approaching. So we fix our lives on Christ. We guard our hearts from Satan's lies. And we encourage others to stay true to the end. Finish the course and gain the prize. And I want to tell you a story that I read to end my message today. It's when Mark Eklund was in the third grade. Again and again, his teacher had to tell him to be quiet. And what impressed her so much was his sincere response every time I had to correct him, she says. Thank you for correcting me, sister. And one morning, my patience grew thin, she writes. Mark talked one too many times, and I made a novice teacher's mistake. Mark, if you say one more word, I'm going to tape your mouth shut. Charlie was a tattletale. Mark's talking again. I had no choice but to act, since I stated the punishment. So I went to him with masking tape, took two pieces, and I made a big X over his mouth. And then I went back to the front of the class, and I glanced up to see how he was doing, and he winked at me. Well, that did it. I started laughing. Mark had a way of bringing the class together, and they cheered as I went back to his desk to remove the tape. I was asked the following year to teach junior high math, and the years went by. And soon Mark and his classmates were once again in my classroom. He didn't talk as much as he did in the third grade. And one Friday, things didn't feel right. We worked on a new concept all week, and the students were just frustrated and edgy. And I needed to change the mood in the class. So I asked them to take out paper and list the names of all their classmates, leaving a space in between each. And then write down the nicest thing that you can say about your classmate. And that's how we finished our week. As the students left, they handed me the papers. Charlie smiled and Mark said, thank you for teaching me, sister. Have a good weekend. And that weekend, I wrote down what everyone else said about them. Monday, I gave each student their list. And before long, that the class was smiling. The papers weren't really mentioned again, but the exercise accomplished its purpose. The students were happy with themselves and with one another. And several years later, returning from vacation, my parents picked me up at the airport. And on the way home, Dad cleared his throat. And he said that the Eklunds called last night. Really, I said, I wonder how Mark's doing. I haven't heard from him in years. And then Dad gave me the news that Mark was killed in Vietnam. His funeral's tomorrow. And his parents want you to come. To this day, I can tell you the spot on I-494 where Dad told me about Mark. How handsome he was as I approached his coffin. And all I could think, Mark, I would give all the masking tape in the world if only you would talk to me. And the pastor prayed regular prayers, and the bugler played his taps. And all those who loved him took one last walk past the coffin. And I was the last one to bless the coffin. And a soldier, one of the pallbearers, came up to me and he asked, "Were you Mark's math teacher?" He talked about you a lot. And at the funeral reception, Mark's parents were waiting for me. "We want to show you what we found in Mark's wallet." They found this on his body when he was killed. 2 worn pieces of notebook paper. Taped, folded, refolded many times. I knew it was the paper on which I listed all the good things that his classmates said about him. "Thanks so much for doing that," Mark's mom said. You can see Mark treasured it. Charlie smiled. "I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk." Marilyn said hers is in her diary. And Vicky, another classmate, took hers, worn and frazzled, out of her pocketbook. "I carry it with me all the time. I think we all saved our lists." And that's when I finally broke down and cried. For Mark and for all his friends who would never see him again. We forget that life will end one day. And we never know when. Tell people you love and that you care for, that they're special and they're important. Lift them up. Hold them up. Tell them before it's too late. Please pray with me. Precious Father, we thank you for your word. We pray earnestly for those we know who once were and those who need to be with us. We pray, like the prodigal of old, they'll rise up and turn and be brought back to us and be gathered up in your loving embrace. Make us a people whose sole interest is in bringing back the lost. Guide us to see only you. Guard our hearts. Encourage us. Encourage us to encourage each other as long as it is called today. Hear our cries. This is the day you entered in and brought us out, showing us the truth, lighting our paths, restoring our souls. We worship you, O God. There are none like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.